Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
April 24th, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, image stabilization. That's right, I have a great show for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about this technology that we're seeing more and more on digital cameras. In fact, the whole Panasonic lineup from top to bottom has image stabilization built right into the camera. Now, there are different types of implementation of image stabilization. Some are lens-based, and others are sensor-based, and I thought it'd be worth a few minutes for us today just to kind of get our heads around this topic. Now, before I actually get to the solution, which is stabilization, I should talk a little bit about the problem. Most of the time, the problem is camera shake. Now, another aspect of the problem can also be motion blur, and that's a little bit of a different thing. I'll touch on it today, but generally speaking, when we talk about image stabilization, what we're trying to do is solve the problem of camera shake. Camera shake comes about in handheld photography, usually existing light photography, so there's no flash, and when the camera isn't mounted on a tripod. And what happens is that when light levels get low, the camera compensates for this, you know, because it's trying to make a good exposure, right? So it compensates for these low light levels by making the shutter speed longer or slower. And so shutter speeds go down to 1/15th of a second, 1/8th of a second, 1/4th of a second, and so on down the line. Now, these shutter speeds are generally too long for us to hold these cameras steadily when making the exposure, and the result is what we call camera shake, a soft image, and it's usually soft from corner to corner. And that's how you can tell an image that is soft because of camera shake, because there aren't any sharp areas in the shot at all. Now, if you just misfocus, right, you accidentally focus on the background and the foreground subjects are out of focus, that's not camera shake. That's where you just have the sensor pointed in the wrong place. Whereas with camera shake, everything in the image will be soft. So there are a couple traditional solutions to this problem. One, of course, is to put your camera on a tripod and steady it during the exposure. The problem with a tripod is that we don't always have one with us, or using a tripod, you know, isn't really the right tool for certain types of shooting. Let's say existing light shooting indoors when you really want to move around quickly and you want to be spontaneous. Tripods really aren't spontaneous pieces of equipment. So tripod is one way to go, and it's a great way to go when the situation is okay for that. Another way to go is to increase the ISO setting. So instead of ISO 100, you can push it up to 400 or 800 or 1600, depending on what type of camera you have. And that will, in turn, allow you to increase the shutter speed, hopefully getting it up to a level that is acceptable for handheld photography. Now, with so many things in digital photography, there's a trade-off. So, and this is especially true with compact cameras that have smaller image sensors. So you raise the ISO for a compact camera up to 400 or 800, you're going to see more image noise. And it varies from camera to camera, of course, and, you know, the different types of processing engines they have and so forth. But the bottom line is, in a compact camera, you raise the ISO to 400, 800, and some of them that even allow you to go up to 1200 and beyond, you're going to see image noise. That's the trade-off. Now, the cool thing about image stabilization, instead of raising the ISO, is that you can keep the ISO down at the lower levels, and this is really nice in compact cameras. You can keep the ISO down at the lower levels, 100 and 200, and yet still get a relatively sharp shot. So you get both sharpness and low noise levels, and this is really why image stabilization has become so popular. This is also a big deal in digital SLRs, but often for a slightly different reason. In digital SLRs, you can usually raise the ISO up to 400 or 800 with, you know, very little increase in image noise. They have really come a long ways in terms of controlling image noise. They have larger sensors. They have better processing engines. But on digital SLRs, a lot of times you want to put a longer lens, a telephoto, a 300 or 400 millimeter telephoto lens on your camera and then shoot away. And even at the higher ISO levels, you usually don't have enough light to keep the shutter speed up at the levels you need to for this increased magnification that comes with telephoto shooting. Remember, you can handhold a camera, a digital camera, any type of digital camera, when you're only shooting at, say, the 35 millimeter equivalent of 50 millimeters. You can handheld the camera and shoot at 1/30th of a second and be okay. But if you take that same camera and you put a 300 millimeter telephoto lens on it, then you've got to be up around 1/250th of a second, 1/500th of a second or more, depending on the magnification of your sensor and how it works with the lens and all that sort of stuff. So suddenly, image stabilization becomes a big deal for digital SLRs too, especially if you do magnification shooting, which would be either macro photography or long telephoto photography. And this is why we're seeing image stabilization applied across the board, whether it's compact or digital SLRs. Now, what are some of the different types of image stabilization? Well, I'm going to start with optical image stabilization, and that's often referred to as OIS, not the catchiest acronym in the world, but it's one that you'll see quite a bit. And the way that this works is, and it depends on, you know, the particular camera, but often the way that it works is that there are gyro sensors either located in the lens, and this, you see this more with digital SLRs, such as the Canon IS system or the Nikon VR system. So you have these gyros, basically, these gyro sensors that are located in the barrel of the lens that detect movement. So as you move the camera, there's a floating element in the lens itself that counteracts the movement. So the sensors basically send the information to the unit that controls the floating element, and it counteracts your movement with its own movement. The end result is actually a stabilized picture. Now, sometimes you'll see claims of gaining, you know, 3 or 4 f-stops through image stabilization. And depending on the equipment that you're using and the type of shooter you are, this can be true, although you want to test it to make sure that whatever equipment you have is performing, you know, with you at the levels that you already know, so that you don't have this false sense of confidence. Now, some digital compacts also use optical image stabilization. And in this case, usually what they do is they put the gyro sensors in the body of the camera, but yet they still use the floating lens element in the barrel to compensate for your movement. So you can see this in Canon, some Canon compacts that are marked as IS, or in Panasonic cameras, often they'll be labeled as Mega OIS. And, you know, various cameras have, you know, their own particular terminology for this. As I said, Nikon calls it VR. Either way, optical image stabilization is a really good way to go. And one of the advantages to it, in my opinion, is that you actually get to see the results in the viewfinder as you're composing the shot. You actually get to see the stabilized image when you push the shutter button. And for a lot of shooters who really like to see what they're going to get at the time of exposure, optical image stabilization is a really good way to go. Another approach to image stabilization is what we call sensor-based stabilization. And this is something that is beginning to show up more and more on new cameras, such as the Olympus, I think it's the Olympus E510 that's getting ready to be released. Sony already has it on their Alpha A100 digital SLR. I think Pentax has a model, the 100D, I believe, has sensor-based image stabilization. And this is also an interesting approach. What they do in this case is they still use the gyro sensors to, you know, measure camera movement while you're holding the camera. But instead of moving a floating lens element in the lens itself, the sensor is mounted so that the sensor moves as, you know, the gyros send information to it. This is pretty cool. Now, the advantage to this is that any lens that you put on a digital SLR that has sensor-based stabilization, the advantage is that every lens that you put on that camera actually becomes image stabilized. So then you don't have to invest money in a whole bunch of new lenses that have optical image stabilizers on it, because the stabilization happens within the camera body with the image sensor itself. Now, there is a downside to this type of stabilization, and there's actually two downsides that I'm aware of. One of them is that the stabilization happens without you being able to preview it. Since it's the sensor that's moving and not the lens elements, then when you take the shot, you're just seeing the world as you normally see it. You're seeing a non-stabilized view of the world as you look through the lens. But the camera is capturing something that almost every time will be sharper and will be stabilized. So if you like to see the stabilization at the point of exposure, then sensor-based stabilization might not be as satisfying for you. Another thing that we're noticing about sensor-based stabilization is that it doesn't work quite as well with the longer lenses. 200, 300, 400 millimeter lenses and up, the stabilization technique doesn't work quite as well as what we're seeing from optical stabilization, such as in the Nikon and Canon telephoto lenses. But there's pros and cons to both systems. Both systems do work, but, you know, they have their own particular quirks, and I think that sensor-based stabilization is good for a lot of folks, especially that are on a budget, but yet want, you know, stabilized images, you know, throughout their whole lens line on their camera. Now, both of these systems that I'm talking about, again, are really designed to address camera shake. Now, they don't really address, you know, motion blur when you have a moving object. So I'm going to take a quick break here and take care of some digital story business. And then when I come back, we'll talk a little bit about motion blur and then maybe some variations on the optical image stabilization systems. So here we are. We're near the end of April, which means we're near the end of yet another photo assignment. This month's photo assignment, Window to the Soul, is coming to an end. So are you working on a shot? Do you have something? You know, now again, I've talked about this in earlier shows. One of the natural examples for Window to the Soul, of course, are shots with eyes, because we always consider eyes, you know, the windows to the soul. And I think shots of eyes, whether they be children or adults or a beautiful woman or a cat or, you know, any living creature, I think eye shots are just infinitely interesting, in part because they are the windows to the soul, and in part because they are these complex, interesting, reflective surfaces that really pick up the environment. So that is definitely one way to go for this month's photo assignment. And then I think there are probably some creative ways that you can go also, even maybe where you use actual windows. Who knows? Either way, I hope you do get something in by the end of April. And remember, all you have to do is go to the submissions page, and you just go to thedigitalstory.com, click on the submissions button, and we have all the information that you need to submit your photo assignment. Pay particular attention to the subject line when you send in your email with your photo attached, and make sure that you follow the instructions closely you know, I just want to make sure that your mail, that your entry doesn't get lost. And so it says photo assignment and it has the month spelled out. So make sure that you do that. And then that way, I will capture your email with your wonderful shot and make sure that it gets in the gallery. We're having a nice little run on GrabShot. So I'm getting some really good stuff in. And so if you haven't heard from me, that doesn't mean that it's not going to be posted. That just means that we're working through all these great shots. And when I do post it, I will definitely send you mail and let you know that your shot is on the site and it stays on the cover of the Digital Story for a Day. And then it also resides in the GrabShots dropdown. Really interesting. We just published our 100th GrabShot, which is, you know, that's just way cool. And, you know, before you know it, we'll be talking about 200, but I'm a little giddy just because, you know, that's a milestone. And, you know, that's 100 shots from all of you. And, you know, every one of them just totally excites me, and I'm thrilled to be able to do that. Okay, and then I also want to thank our sponsors. Both ExpoDisc, the custom white balance folks, ExpoDisc, I use it all the time, is a great way to get custom white balance with your digital camera, and that means compact or DSLR. And the good folks over at Boinks Software, B-O-I-N-X, who make Photomagico, clearly the best slideshow software on the market. Both of them have tiles on every page of the Digital Story, and you can click on those tiles and they'll take you right to their page and you can read all about both products. Okay, I want to talk a little bit about photographing moving subjects because image stabilization doesn't really address that. What image stabilization, you know, its aim is to help you steady the camera so that you get a nice clean exposure. So we're talking about a moving camera essentially. But when your subject is moving, that's a different issue, and generally speaking, image stabilization does not help with that. Now, some camera manufacturers realize that people want help with moving objects, too. So what they've done is they've created this new thing, and the way that I see it labeled most of the time is something like intelligent ISO. And basically, and a lot of times they'll couple intelligent ISO with image stabilization. But essentially what intelligent ISO does is that it reads the ambient light in a particular scene, and it detects, when it detects a moving subject within, you know, your frame of reference there, then it will jack up the ISO to like 1,000 or 1,200 or something just for that one shot. It won't keep it there. It'll just jack it up for the shot when it detects motion. Now, the thinking being on this is that, you know, that a higher ISO allows a faster shutter speed, which allows you to freeze action. The trade-off, as we've discussed in this show, is that you'll have probably more image noise for those shots than you will for a shot where the ISO is back around 100 or 200. So, you know, you're in a trade-off situation. The interesting thing about intelligent ISO, though, is that it doesn't stay at that high ISO when there isn't motion. If you take the same object, you know, that you photographed that was moving, let's say a tree branch being blown by the wind, now the camera with intelligent ISO would detect that movement, raise up the ISO, and allow you to shoot the shot, you know, hopefully freezing that tree branch in the frame. But if the wind died down and all the other lighting conditions remained constant, and you took another shot, then an intelligent ISO camera then would lower the ISO, and that second shot would be like at ISO 100 or 200. Very interesting stuff. Now, I'm seeing this show up on Panasonic cameras. I think Fuji has a version of it called picture stabilization, something like that. And you might want to keep an eye out for it. It's nothing that I really recommend, and it's something that I don't recommend. I think the thing about it is that you just need to know what it is, and you also have to know that it isn't image stabilization to be used for camera shake because of the trade-off. The thing that I like about it is that, you know, I will raise the ISO when I need to get a faster shutter speed. And sometimes I forget to lower it back down, and then I'll keep clicking away at the higher ISO. So kind of the cool thing about intelligent ISO is that it automatically moves it back down for you when there isn't motion. And I think that is helpful, again, as long as you understand what's really going on inside the camera. Now, speaking of movement, I do want to address something else, and that's panning and how panning might work with image stabilization. Of course, panning is when you have a moving subject, such, let's say, a bicycle that's coming by, that you're, you know, following the bicycle with the camera. So you're moving your camera on a horizontal axis, following the subject as it zooms by. Now, when you pan correctly, which means you're moving the camera roughly at the same speed that the object is moving, you get this really neat effect. What happens is the subject that's moving is nice and sharp and focused, and this background gets this wild kind of blur that, you know, it really makes it feel like motion. So panning technique is a lot of fun, and we like using it, but how does it work with image stabilization? Well, depending on the sort of stabilization that you have, for instance, most optical stabilizers, and I think sensor-based too, will actually stabilize movement on both axes, both the vertical axis and the horizontal axis. But some Canon cameras, especially the ones with telephoto lenses, will have like a, you know, a mode 2 or a second mode for image stabilization. And what that does is then that only enables stabilization on one axis and leaves the other axis basically free for movement. So then when you're panning, what happens is only the vertical axis is stabilized, but the horizontal axis, the axis that you're panning on, is not stabilized, and you're allowed to, you know, get your cool panning shot with, you know, even a little, you know, extra stabilization. Kind of a cool concept. So that's something that if you're using longer lenses, you might want to take a look at. I think the latest Nikon VR lenses, the gyros automatically detect this sort of swift movement in one direction or another, and I think they will automatically switch to single axis stabilization. Wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, this is some pretty sophisticated stuff, and you know, the darn thing about it is that it actually works. I have just a few tips for you around all of this. One is, stabilization does use a little extra battery juice. So if you're going to be in image stabilization mode for an extended period of time, make sure that you have an extra battery with you. Or if your battery is getting low, you might want to turn stabilization off. It does use a little more juice. Another thing, some of the older image stabilized lenses, the optical image stabilized lenses, don't work properly when mounted on a tripod. So you might want to just check, you know, the owner's manual that comes with your lens or comes with your camera to see if you have to turn stabilization off when you're on a tripod. I think most of the newer lenses and newer systems detect, you know, the so-called steady situation, and they'll behave okay, but it's just something that you want to have in the back of your mind and make sure that you double check, especially if you have an image stabilization lens that was designed a few years ago. And the last thing is to really think about what type of image stabilization, you know, works best for you. And I think most of the time your choice is going to be between optical stabilization, you know, where you have the floating lens element, or sensor-based stabilization where it actually happens within the camera itself. You know, so depending on your needs, your budget, you know, what type of experience you like to have while you're shooting, really think about which of these works best for you, and then make sure that you read the documentation carefully so that you're getting the system that you think you are. Remember, stabilization, just like all these other things that we have with cameras, you know, they all sort of have their own little brand names and their own little, you know, they do this and they do that. And of course, they all sound perfect when you read the marketing copy. So what you really have to do is look at the specs, read a little bit about how stabilization is actually being applied so that you're investing in the system that's right for you. And oh, and one other thing that I just thought of that's important. Make sure that you look at the menu, of your camera that has stabilization. And I'm talking more now about compact cameras. Like I have a Canon 700IS, which is a camera I just love. I love this compact camera. I think it's one of the best compacts that Canon has ever made. And it has an image stabilizer built into it. And in the menu, it has some really good options. For instance, you can turn it off or on at the menu. You can have continuous stabilization, which means the stabilizer is just on all the time. And you can have at the point of exposure, I forget exactly what they call it, one shot or something like that, but where stabilization is only applied when you press the shutter button. Now, the thing about this is that I think it uses this method, this last method, uses a little less battery because image stabilization isn't being applied all the time, but that you also don't get to see the effect in the viewfinder when you're taking the shot. So again, it could be a nice compromise. The Panasonic FZ camera that I've been playing with lately has those options too, and it calls it mode 1 or mode 2. But basically, the modes are, either having image stabilization on all the time or only at the point of exposure. There's a trade-off to both ways. And, become familiar with the menu, with your options for image stabilization, and, choose the ones that are right for you. The bottom line is, this is great technology. This is really useful technology that works. And really the bottom line is just understanding how it works so that you can use it to its fullest potential. I hope this show today has helped you understand image stabilization a little bit more. I hope you go out and if you have a camera that has it right now, go out, play with it, read the owner's manual, get to know it, and it will help you take sharper shots. And if you're getting ready to buy your next camera, well, this is totally exciting because you have lots of great options. Make sure you find the technology that works best for you, and I think you'll just have a great time. Speaking of taking shots, I think it's time to do that right now. Let's grab our cameras. Let's go take some pictures. Maybe take a photo assignment. Maybe take a grab shot. Or maybe just take something for fun. And I'll see you back here next week for the Digital Story. Have a great week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.